whether with excitement or without excitement, and we saw that actually Rav didn't become excited. Didn't lose his temper, didn't become emotionally excited. In other words, he was intellectually irritated. So they had an answer because his answer betrayed an intellectual irritation. So in other words, how can that be explained? In other words, because there is aloche, le'ilo milamid odom mitalmide miloshim tzor. So of course, the Gemara says, le'ilo milamid odom mitalmide miloshim tzor. But the Gemara doesn't say, le'ilo milme talmid mirabi miloshim tzor. Because as far vis-a-vis a talmid, we cannot tell him, you know, how he is to formulate his questions. Because a talmid has yet to learn. So we can tell a talmid guidelines how to learn. A rabbi, we can tell guidelines how to teach. But the talmid has to ask the questions in the way he finds it best to express himself. If it's loshim tzor, it's loshim tzor. If it's loshim arucho, it's loshim arucho. But Mashein came vis-a-vis Talmidim like Rav Kana v'Rabase, who are rebbeim themselves. So the halacha of Leilo Milamid Odom Talmidim Loshim Tzor applies to them too. So because they were Chachmi Yisrael. So in other words, when they had to present the Shaila, when Rav Kana v'Rabase had to present the Shaila before Rav, so they were also bound by certain halachas, just as a rebbe. He's bound by certain halachas. In other words, he has to work hard in order to formulate the halacha b'loshim tzor rather than b'loshim arucho. So vis-a-vis Rav Kana v'Rav Ase, when they had to learn the halacha from Rav, they also had to present the shaila b'loshim tzor. So memele, it involved the halachic question. I mean, how are they to formulate their question before Rav? Are they to formulate? Of course, they could have formulated, they could have asked the question in regard, spell out the question in regard to the case of one rib, and then they could have spelled out the question in regard to two ribs. So what, Rav would have become excited? Okay, so he did become excited. I mean, nothing happened. No danger in Rav becoming excited. So why did they have to resort to so much chivas, I mean, and present and formulate the question in such a way that they would understand an answer for both cases? The answer is because there is a loche of Leilo Milamid Odom LeTalmid Loshim Tzor, but it doesn't apply to a regular Talmid. A regular Talmid who has yet to learn, so he is entitled, and he should present this question in the way that suits him best. So if it suits him best to be Marir Bilshene and to talk for an hour, so let him formulate it that way. But in regard to Rav Kana v'Rav Ase, to the Chachmei Yisrael, so they were bound al pedin to formulate their questions to Rav Bilshem Tzor. So what would be Bilshem Tzor? So formulating the question in regard to the case of two ribs would involve a minimum of talking. So that's why they formulated it. Now, according to Rav, we see from this Gemara that according to Rav, there are two halachas. One halacha in regard to one tzela and part of the vertebra being dislocated, then it's straight. And another halacha in regard to both sloi, zeken neged zeh, with part of the vertebra on each side being dislocated, even though in the middle it remains intact, so then it's asuro and not reive, but nevel. Now, so then we should expect the Rambam and the Turo and the Mechaber and the Ramo to pass in that halacha. So one halacha, the Rambam passes, the Turo passes, the Mechaber paskins, the Ramo of course paskins, everybody paskins, like Rav. In other words, they paskin that if you don't have a dislocation of the vertebra, but just a dislocation of the rib, then you must have Rov Tzlois. You must have. So in other words, like Rabbi Yochanan, 12 ribs, a dislocation of 12 ribs. But if you have a dislocation of one rib plus its vertebra, even though it's half of the vertebra, so then it's also great. That everybody passes. But we should expect all the Rishonim to pass another halacha of Rav too, because no one is arguing with Rav on that halacha. Rav Kani and Rav Asadi inquired, so they could not be considered as being chilek on Rav. They asked Rav, and obviously they accepted Rav's answer, because that was the purpose of their inquiry. So that halacha should also be mentioned by the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't mention that halacha. So the Lachem Mishneh, and it is amazing. I mean, such an apparent and obvious hashmote by the Rambam, because there is a big difference between treif and levele, and the Rambam is mashmi that. So we would expect the Magid Mishneh to raise the question, and the Kesef Mishneh. No one raises the question except the Lachem Mishneh. And the Mechaber, the Kesef Mishneh, the Mechaber is the same person. So not only he doesn't raise any question as to why the Rambam is mashmi the other halacha, that if both slois together with part of the vertebra, so what is located, so then it's asur, not it's asur underscore of Nevele. The Mechaber himself doesn't mention it, but Yud Milcheshchita Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis. Shvura Keitzat. Hu Shenishtabru Reif Tzal Yisrael. If most of the ribs were fractured, Utzloi Sabeimoi Nachases Remikam Vachases Remikam. Nishtabru Sheish Mikam Vishesh Mikam O Yachases Remikam Vachas Mikam Treif Vei Paschus Lakabichne. So in other words, even regarding a dislocation, you require a dislocation of 12 ribs. 11, it's a Greek shale. The posterior half. שהצלע תקוע בו, הרי זו טרעים. וכן אם נקרו, מן השדר יחול יחס, אפילו הויסו, תצטץ לגמור הפרדר, אפילו הויסו מן החוליה של למטו מן הקסולים, שאם בצלות לא יעיס, הרי זו טרעים. אוקיי, תצטץ לגמור הפרדר. But anyway, the Rambam mentions, in Halacha Beis, he mentions one din of Rav, that one צלע with half of the חוליה dislocated makes the בהמים את הטרעים. How about the other halacha? If both slois, zeh keneged zeh, and with part of the chulye being dislocated together with it, but in the middle it's, even though in the middle, it is intact, it's gisteret nevele, that the Rambam doesn't mention. So the Mishnah is the kasha. The Mishnah. Oidom Roshon, binekra tzela uktas chulye mikam, ויצא לה הוא קצת חוליה מכאן, ואמצאו איסו של חוליה קיימש, שהיא נבלה, ולא איסי שהזכירו רבינו בלחשכיתה, ששום ביה דין הנבלס, ולידעת אותם. Alright, so if the Rambam had been the only one who is much but fine, but no one, I mean all those who passed the halacha, the dinim of Treifes, don't mention it, the Torah doesn't mention it, Simen Gala. Now let's go over the whole Simen Torah, Simen Gala. So that will make it easier for us when we go over the status in the day. Simen Gala, Nishtabu Tzomiseo Treib, והוא שנשתה ברובו. קיצר, הבימו יש לו חובי סלויז דיילי שיש במייח, בדלת ניכר, בדלת ניכר. בכל אחס תקוע בחוליה שלו. ולמטומה, יש לו עד צלויס... קטנס, that's why we more use the expression mortar and pestle, because they are thrust in the chulia. So the way you put it, you thrust a pestle in the mortar. בכל אחס תקוע בחוליה שלו. ולמטה מהם יש לו עד צלויס טניס, שאין במח. ולאחר שיכלו כל הצלויס, יש חוליה שאין צלויס תקועיס בהם. Below the loins. Below the loin area. So then, you have vertebrae like this, up to the loin area. So you have two ribs attached to the vertebrae. But below, in the lumbar, in the bottom portion of the lumbar area, in the vertebral column, so you don't have any tzlois attached to the vertebra. So he says, ולאחר שיכלו כל הצלויס, יש חוליה שהם צלויס תקועיס בהם. נשברו רובון של חולבי זגדליס, בין ווב מצד זה ושישו מצד זה, או יודלב מצד זה ויחוד מצד השי נתריב. במדו המורים שנשתברו בחציון ולמיילו כלפי השטר. The posterior, heck. אבל לא נשתברו רובון, או שנשתברו רובון מחציון כלפי. מה תוקשר? ואם יקרו מן החוליה והחוליה קיימס, הוויקלו נשתברו. נשתברו צלויס הקטניס, שאין בהם מיח קשר, נקר צלע, וחוצי חוליה עם מוטרים. Now, because of הרשבו, so the רשבו שיטי is, the just as there is a distinction in regard to the case of רויב צלויס between a צלע that has marrow, מיח, and a צלע that has no marrow, that is mentioned in the Gemara. But the Gemara doesn't mention that distinction in regard to the case of Neka Tzela v'chotze chulye. Rabs Din, the Gemara doesn't mention Dafke, a Tzela that has marrow v'chotze chulye. So one could say, where it's Neka just, where it is just Neka Tzloes without chulye, then there is a prerequisite that only Tzloes that have meyach. But not slois that have no meyach. But in regard to the case where there is a dislocation, not only of the tzela, but of half of the vertebra as well, it doesn't make any difference whether it has meyach or not, even a tzela that has no meyach. But as long as this, together with half of the vertebra, were dislocated, waneka, so it's treibe. So the Rashba says, the same distinction applies to the case of tzela mechotze chulye. Because of the Rashbo, dafke matzloi sagdilis, avu haktane yishayim v'meyach, avu neka tzela mechotze chulye kshir, bo de rosh yisraeli, v'adini obi o rosh zal, v'chilu b'ze. Nekho, chulye achas kula des gemore further, v'afilu meyse yishayim bo tzloi yisasu. If the whole vertebra was neka, no part of it remaining intact, so then it's also asu. That's the gemore further. Anyway, so, in Siman Dalet, the Torah discusses all the dinim about tzlois, nekrat tzlois, and chulies, everything. So he should mention the other din of Rav, that if both tzlois on both sides are neka, together with part of the chulie on each side being neka, so then it's not just reife, then it's nevele. He doesn't mention it. And the Mechaber doesn't mention it either. Alright, now Simon and Dalit. Dinit Trivis Alisel. Habemo Yeshlech of Base Lois, Dalis, Sheyesh Ben Meach, Vidalit Nikam, Vidalit Nikam, Vicholachas, Kuo, Bechulia Shalom, Ulmatomen, Yeshay Slois, Tanis, Shein Ben Meach, Ulachashikol Klaat Slois, Yeshulia Shein Slois, Kuiz Ben. נשברו רובון של חובי זק דליס, וחצי נאמר לו כלפי השדרה, ושישו מצד זה, ושישו מצד זה, או ידע עוד מצד זה, ויחוד מצד זה שם נתרים. והנה קומה החולי וחו, ונקיים את זה, ואתו נשתבר. נשתבר, וצלו יזק תמי שם, ומאה הכשר. נקמה עצלו יזק דליס, סלם חוצי חולי, עם עוד רעיף, ודווקא נקו, אבל אם היא רקח, חסר או קושי. Suppose the behemoth was born that way. So then, it's kshel. Ve'o adin im yiseiro chul yachas, afin im beis lois, kein she nimtzeu yit beis lois deyle, she yich ben meyach koshe. Ve'chein im nimtzeu bitzad echot es vov tzloeis, u bitzad echot ketikone. So it's also koshe. Now, the the din of Rav. Nekro, no, that's the Gemara first. Nek, so the din of Rav, he mentioned in Siv Gimel, Nekamatzlo is daily seller of Chotzir Cholim Atreif. How about the other din of Rav? That if both slois, second and gezeh, with Mikzas Achulie being the Neka together with them, that is Nevelo, doesn't say. Now, then in Siv Dalet, he says, Nekro Chulie Achas Kula Afro Mesa Shem Etzlo is Atreif, but that's the Gemara further. Vapiul Mato Bimokim Shem Psikas Chutz Hashet Repesel Shom. In Nishbura Hashetra, we use a Chutz Hashet Rechel. Where is that in? That in the Rav. No one mentions. So obviously, they had another pshat than Rashi and Tisus. They had another pshat than Rashi and Tisus. Actually, this din is not even mentioned in the Gemara. It's mentioned in the Gemara according to Rashi and Tisus pshat. But the Gemara doesn't say it. Where does the Gemara say that according to Rav, if both slots won their cup, together with part of the vertebra on each side, even though in the middle part of the vertebra remained intact, so then it's asuo and the scorpion. What does Gemara say that? Gemara doesn't say it. Gemara says gistere kamvik. And the Gemara that of Aleph says gistere is the veil. But the Gemara that of Aleph, when the Gemara uses the expression gistere, the Gemara's reference to a case of decapitation, when the head was chopped off. So that then it's considered as mess. Human being, the behemoth, everything is considered as mess. Because the locomotion, the movements that you can detect in a balchai, in whom the head was chopped off, in the head was chopped off, so that is not considered as life. That is not considered as life. So, but, so that's gister. Now, but here the Gemara uses the same lotion, gister. So Rashi and Teisu Shite is, since the Gemara uses the same lotion as Daf Chof Aleph, and there it's Nevela, so here too it's Nevela. But that doesn't prove it, because many times the same word is used in two different places in the Gemara, but it doesn't mean the same thing. The literal meaning of gister means cut asunder. So when you chop off the head of the balchai, so the balchai is cut asunder. When both slois together with part of the vertebra is nekar, is detached, is dislodged, so it's also, you can also characterize it as cut asunder. But there is a big difference between this kind of cut asunder and the other kind of cut asunder. So the cut asunder of a decapitation, that's missing. But this got the sun, that is not missing. But it betrayed, it displayed an intellectual irritation on the part of Rav. Because he used this expression, that in itself displayed, showed a certain intellectual excitement on the part of Rav. Because if Rav had not become intellectually irritated at the question presented by Rav Kanan Rav Aseh, he would have said, Asur Treif, why do you have to say, Gistoy Kamret? You are talking of a case where the behemoth was cut asunder. So in other words, so that showed to them, that not only does Rav hold that it's Treif in the case where one tzela with part of the vertebra were dislodged, Roneka, that is Treife. But even when one tzela with part of the vertebra were dislodged, Neka, it's also Treife, because if Rav's view had been that only the case where both slois had been Neka, together with part of the vertebra on each side is Treife. But when one tzela with part of the vertebra is Neka, it's not Treife, he would have said, Treife, why do you have to say Gistre, comrade? So that showed that Rav held that it's Treife even in the case of one tzela. So he became excited and he said to him, what are you talking about? Two tzlois Neka together with the vertebra. It's cut asunder, so you have any doubts as to whether it's Treife? Of course, that shouldn't even be asked. But even one tzela is Treife. But not that Rav meant that it's the Lele. But the fact that he used that expression, cut asunder, showed, I mean, that it shouldn't even be asked, the case of two tzloyes. What should be asked? The case of one tzar. So that means that in final analysis, so there is no difference in the din between the case of two tzloyes together with part of the chulye being neka and the case of one tzar together with part of the chulye being neka. In both it's reife. But in one, Rav recognized the right of asking. In the other case, he felt that they should have known better, they shouldn't even have asked. But the answer is the same. So in Mele, the Rambam doesn't have to mention. He mentions that if one tzela and part of the chuli is nekar is treife, so of course it's a kalchimo of logic that if two tzlo is ekenegetze with part of the chuli on each side being nekar that it's treife. And the Mtur doesn't have to mention it, and the Mechava. So in other words, so that means that most Rishayim didn't explain the Gemara the way Rashi teaches. Why did Rashi teaches explain the Gemara that way? Because the expression Gisterei is used. And that expression Gisterei in the Afkof Aleph is used in connection with decapitation. There it's Nevela Mamash. Alright, next slide. Omar Rabbi Bar Shile, Omar Rav Masna Bar Shmuel, Nekra Tzela Miikoro, if the rib was dislodged at its source, from its socket, the Gulgele Shenelbis of the Rubo, and if the skull of the behemoth was shattered in the major portion of it, Ubosar Achifes Ripa Keres, Birube treif. In other words, the boso, the peritoneum, the membrane that covers the stomach, so was torn by birube, so is treif. Now, nekrotzalamiko treif, if one rib was neka, so is treif, v'riminu, kamo chisorim bishedre, bishama yemrim shtei chulies. ובסיר להם עם חוליה אחס ויום הרבי למה שמואל וכן נתחייף וכן נתחייף so we see that Shmuel says that it is a treif in the case where the chulia, the vertebra was neka but not zela. He emphasizes there chulia means the vertebra, zela is the rib. Tzela is the rib. I mean, both consist of bones, but the ribs are attached to the bone in the vertebral column. You see, so we see that Shmuel emphasizes there that it's treifah only if the chulia was neka. And here Shmuel, the same Shmuel, emphasizes that if the tzela is neka. So the Gemara says, no, there is no stira. Both are true. Hosom chulie beloitza. Hosom chulie beloitza. Hosom chulie beloitza. Bishleime tzela beloi chulie mishkachas. El chulie beloitza laicha mishkachas. How is it possible so to visualize chulie beloitza la? In other words, if the chulia is neka, so necessarily it must involve a dislocation, an akire, of the ripto. So the Gemara says, bishile kafla, below the loins. So then the anode tzlo is attached to the bone, to the vertebra. So then you have just a vertebra without any ribs attached to it. So if this vertebra in the lower portion of the lumbar area, I mean below the loins, so if that is neka, so it's also true. Maski flora ravesh, listening Rabbi Kuru Bisham Chum Bisilel, Omri Rav, because here it's also Chum Bisilel, because Bisilel say Chuli Achas, a according to Bishamai, it will be a treife only if two chulies are dislodged. And according to Bisila, only if one chulie is dislodged completely. So, it's treife. Usually, Bisila will kill him. Now, the Mishneh Etes mentions all the cases where Bisil Adam Achmirim and Bisham Adam kill. Why isn't that listed in the Mishneh Etes? So Gemara says, Omer Rav, ki yishal, Omer Rav, ki yishal yin tu mi yishal, dav Misham Lechumre. Because the same Achlimit in Misham Bisil applies to Tumaseil as well. And that child, in other words, as we discussed it when we learned the beginning of the papers, that the question is whether this kind of a deficiency is a basic organic deficiency. If it is a basic organic deficiency, some mele, if one chulie is missing, so then it's an incomplete spine. And an incomplete spine cannot be mitame to meseya, only a complete spine. But if the chisorin of one vertebra constitutes a basic organic deficiency in the spine, so memele it becomes an incomplete spine ligabi to meseya, and it becomes trevetu. But the question was presented by the Chachomim in regard to Tumaseya. And they are Bisilel Adam Achmirim and Bishamay Adam Mekirim. So that's the reason as to why it's not listed among the Chumres Bishamay, Chumres Bisilel, and Kol Bishamay. Kish or Tumish. It's the Havel of Bisham Lechum, the Rashi. Kamal Chesor Mishedlo, Tame Beyo Lebosa, Vachem Yitrei Bisilel Mitrei Mechode Chulie, Al Mishmul Akira Schuli Nitrei Vele, Akira Sela, Vishim Lekafli, Shuli Sala Vishim Shum Sloiz, Vileis Kabe Kule Bishama, Yili Yitrei Vena Mepli Galeis Nebedyes, Yichosh Vosem Kule Bishama, Yvichum Bisilel, Vel Gabi Trei Vame Bishama Lekule, Ki Yishal Chesor Mishedlo, Vizamer Lashli Yem Tumas Eil, Nishal Yivneyem, Bichamu Chesrei Lodos, Bishama Lechumre, Vigulgei Lashenar Vesobe Rubo, If the skull was shattered in the major portion, when it says Berubo, does it mean Bereiv Gevo, that's this way, or Bereiv Gevo, that way. Narash. Reiv Gevo, in a name of my law, Reiv Gevo, God, Reiv Gevo, God, Reiv Gevo. All right. So if the membrane that covers the stomach was nikra, so then it's rave. Now it's the peritoneum. Boy Ravashi, bereiv korua or bereiv not. Bereiv not. When it says the bosar achiv bereiv akeres is berubi is rave, what does it mean? That if the peritoneum is torn open in the major portion of it, so then it's treife. Certainly, when most of the peritoneum is cut out, it's certainly treife. Even if most of the peritoneum is just cut open, so it's treife. If it's cut out, so that's more than that. So it's certainly treife. Oy, believe not. That Shmuel only says that if the rope of the peritoneum was cut out, then it's late. But if the rope of the peritoneum was just cut open, then it's not late. Bereiv korua, v'kolchki bereiv nitulo, oy bereiv notu, shenit al rube, avo bereiv korua lo mitre. Alright. Tip shel lo mitna, keres apnimi shenikro, oy shenikra v'machitzein. So the Mishnah uses the Roshin nikra, not nita, but nikra just cut open. V'amrim ma'arov v'mishmid rabis b'pchanine, ko akeres kulei zoi keres apnimi. V'izeu keres achitzeino, bosar achiv v'esriva keres. According to ma'arov. So b'meile, so it's ein hach. And there the Mishnah says, v'teresh, nikra v'vachitzeino. So according to the ma'arov, so it's a Mishnah mefereshes. That not only if the robe of the peritoneum was cut out, even if it was just, if the robe of the peritoneum was just cut open, so it's also trade. So the Gemara says, Miu de Taimel Lishmuel, Omar Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Nachmani, Omar Shmuel, Mokim Shein Bimilas. Because who mentions that Gugele, that Bosar Achiv is Rifa Keres Behub Yisrael? Shmuel says that. And Shmuel happens to disagree with the Marove. You see, the Marove say that Keres Apnini means the whole woman of the baby. And Keres Achitzeino means the membrane that covers the woman. In other words, means the peritoneum. That's according to Marove. But Shmuel happens to agree happens to say that the Keres Apnini is Mokim Shein Bimilas. That means that the upper portion of the woman that is not lined with certain hairy-like substances. There's lady-like, because at the lower portion of the woman there are certain projections, hairy-like substances, but in the upper portion of the woman, so that is not lined by this hairy-like substance. So, in other words, so according to Shmuel, Keres Apnini, the Mishneh, is referenced to the upper portion of the woman. And Keres Achitzeino has reference to the lower portion. So when the Mishneh says, according to Shmuel, when the Mishneh says, Nikarim Achitzeino, there of course it spells out, torn open, even though it's not cut out, but just cut open. Cut out. So that has reference to the lower portion of the woman, but has nothing to do with the peritoneum. Who equates the Keres Achitzeino mentioned in the Mishneh? And there the Mishneh says in so many words, Nikra Afal Pishen Gatu. That is the Marove. But Shmuel doesn't agree with the Marove. So Mele, according to Shmuel, we can inquire. When Shmuel says, according to Shmuel, so the Mishneh doesn't discuss the treife of Nikra, the membrane that covers the site. Because according to Shmuel, when the Mishneh talks of Keres Achitzeino, it means something else. It means the lower portion of the woman. So, but even though according to Shmuel, this aloche of Posar Achives Reiva Keres is not mentioned in the Mishneh, but he himself says that Posar Achives Reiva Keres Berube is Matre Devein. So we can inquire, what does Shmuel mean? Of course, according to Marove, so even if the peritoneum were just Nikra, Rov, so it's Reiva. Allah has come with Hamu, it was cut out, Rov. Masheike, according to Shmuel, so Shmuel mentions that din, and that's a new din by Shmuel. It's not mentioned according to Shmuel in the Mishneh. So maybe we can inquire, according to Shmuel, does it mean that even if it was just Nikharim, the Bosar Achiv Sakeres? So it's Treife, or only if it was cut out, the Bosar Achiv Sakeres. And Rashi. Rivka Uab Kosmen Yitur, and not to see for Uba, but for all the tips of Rivka Uba Koma, the Mausi Mikra Tam Fashion Lai Rof, it's in Lai Bosar Achiv. Me, you time on the boil of Rofka Uab and not on Shmuel, the young boy is Michael Yu, Josh Necro, who Shmuel enforced the Masnes in Tam Marope, El Mokim Shame in Milas, the Hanik Kerasatsme, the U Mace, if I pray for the Bosar Achiv, I must listen. The Gemorik Mirley. Now the question is, if according to Shmuel, so this Treife of Bosar Achiv, Sakriva Keres is not mentioned in the Mishneh. How does he know that it's Treife? The answer is it's Kabbalah. He had a Kabbalah that is Treife. But it's not to be equated with Nikra Riva Keres. So maybe we cannot be patient from the lotion of Riva Nikra that is mentioned, because the Nikra Riva Keres has reference to something else, to a certain portion of the woman itself, not the membrane that covers the woman. Oh, so then Rashi explains something else. But then you ask, since the Mishneh doesn't mention it, so how can we be meisim on the treifes of the Mishneh? So he says that the member of Shmuel is not meisim on the treifes of the Mishneh, because even though the Mishneh doesn't spell it out explicitly, but it's included in the general statement of Zakla. Right. Udrusa Sasei. Now let's see the Rosh Hashanah Mishnah. Utrusa Sasei. The Bude Ime Utrusa Sasei Bidako, Utrusa Sari Bigas. So according to the Bude, so if a behemoth is clawed, if a behemoth gas, let's say an arctic bull, is clawed by zay, not by lion, it's not rape. Now the question is there a machlekes between Tanakame and Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda is just explanatory of the Tanakame? So tomorrow we'll discuss it. Truth is azay, omar Rabbi Yehuda marav. Bibheimo min azei ulemal uveifeis min aneis ulemal ulemal. So in other words, by beheime, so which kind of a beheime can be deiris? Which kind of a chayim can be deiris a beheime? And be matrim the beheime, so that is, if it is min azei ulemal. Minazei v'lemayl. Of course, a lion, that's l'mayl or minazei. I mean, a lion is a more terefes, is more of a higher terefes, is more ferocious than a zei. So, if a behemoth was clawed by any beast that has the degree of ferocity, of ferociousness, of a zei, or more, so then it's right. But if a bull, let's say, was clawed by a beast that does not have that degree of ferociousness possessed by his aim, so then it's not right. Uveifates. Nates is a hawk. You see, I mean, that the hawk became the symbol of a bird of prey. So, I mean, everybody is an aggressive nation is a hawk. So, but Menachem Begin was characterized not only by Gentiles, but even by so-called Jewish communal leaders as the chief hawk in Israel. Why? Because the hawk, obviously, the hawk is a very aggressive bird. So, Beifeitz Minanei Tzulemayim. It's in other words, that if an oaf was nidras by a bird of prey that has the degree of drisus of a hawk or more, so then it's fine. But if an oaf was nidras by a bird of prey that he has a lower degree of drisus than a hawk, so then it's not right. Limutemai. Ilaime, what he says. Bibeime minazei vomailo. But if it's lemato minazei, and if a beast that is lemato minazei was the reses, so then the behemoth does not become a traipo. What does he have in mind? What does Rav have in mind? Limutemai. Ilaime limutechoso. That if a cat clawed a behemoth, if a cat clawed a behemoth, any behemoth, so it's not right there. So why does he have to tell us that? That's pshitis. Tiyone, utrus hazei. So without Rav's memory of the behemoth and hazei v'mayro, I would know, since the Mishnah says utrus hazei, that only utrus hazei is right there, but utrus hachoso is not right. Utrus hachoso is not right. So in other words, and if you are going to say that the reason is why Rav had to tell us is to in order to advise us that a zeiv can be matriv with its drise. Even a behemoth gas. In other words, if a bull was clawed, was nidriso, by a wolf, so it's fine. So, Mashiki, the retain, Hokomashi is in Gaza Namidoris. Because Namidoris. So, this is what Ravi saying. The behemoth minazei for the mile. In other words, as far as a behemoth Gaza is concerned, it can only become treife through the drisas azei for a chayah that is the mile. But it cannot be become a treife for. It cannot be a treife for that by driso v'chayo that is l'mato min hazeh. So v'otnan Rav Yehuda Eimer drusis hazeh v'dako u'drusis hazeh v'gaso. So Rav Yehuda says in so many words that a bull could not become treife even if it is clawed by a bull. Only if it is clawed by a lion, an ari. But not if it's clawed by a wolf. So in Mele, the question arises, since when the Mishnah says Drus Hazeh, it has reference to Drus Hazeh Bidak, but Drus Hazeh Bigaso, so it's not trained. It's not trained. So when the Mishnah says Drus Hazeh that it's trained for, it means Drus Hazeh Bidako. So then it's explicit in the Mishnah that Drus Hazeh, even Bidako, is not trained. Because Bigaso, he couldn't say that when the Mishnah says Drus Hazeh, he's in trained for, it has reference to Bigaso. So then, a gaso can become a treifo only through Drus Hazeh. But a gaso could not become a treifo through Drus Hazeh. Masheinkei, Idako could become a choso. I could say that Idako could become a treifo even by Drus Hazeh. So that's why Rav has to tell us the Chiddush that even Idako couldn't become a treifo through Drus Hazeh. But you couldn't say that. Because even without Rav's memory, I would know that a dako, even a dako could become a treifo through Drusas achoso. Because the Mishnah mentions that only Drusas azei bidako becomes a treifo. But so that means Drusas achoso bidako does not become a treifo. So it's a Mishnah before Eshes. So why does Rav have to tell us that? We retain Rabbi the Livrik Pauk. So now it's only Rabbi Yudhi says that Drus Hazeh is matri for Nidako not Negaso. But Anakami is Chelik and he holds that Drus Hazeh is matri for Negaso. So maybe I could say that Drus Hazeh is can be matri in Nidako. So that's why Rav has to tell us no, that Drus Hazeh is not matri even in Nidako. Because if Rav didn't tell us, I wouldn't know it from the Mishnah. So he says, "V'chitayim Rabbi Yehuda Livrik Polik, v'omar Rabbi Yomim Bayefes, omar Rabbi Loza." So Rav is chelik karavosa, and Rav holds the reason machlekes between Tanakami and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a zeiv can only be matriv drusas azeiv can only be matriv nedako, not negaso. But the Tanakami holds that a drusas azeiv can be matriv even negaso. So Mimele seems according to Tanakami. Since Rav holds that according to Nekami, it was as if can be matri, if negaso, so Rav has to tell us this Chiddush. If Rav didn't tell us, I could say that Drusas Azeiv can be matri in negaso, but Drusas Achosu can be matri in nidako. So Rav tells us no, Drusas Azeiv can be matri according to Nekami in negaso, but Drusas Achosu cannot be matriv even in dako. But if Rav didn't tell us, I would say Drus Hazeh can be matriv in negaso and Drus Hazeh can be matriv in dako. So Kamash Velo Rav, no, Drus Hazeh is not matriv even in dako. Even in dako. There's the first part. Ipoisei me'leilom limutechoso. Maybe. So the second motion says no, that Rav is not chilek. And Rabbi Lozo, and Rav agrees with Rabbi Lozo that Rabbi Yehuda is only explanatory of the Rabbanon, the Tanakame, but then you ask, if he's only explanatory of Tanakame, Rabbi Yehuda says in so many words, that the Drus is Hazeiv, he's only Matriv, Nidako, what Nigas and Ab. So why does Rav have to tell us this Chiddush? The Drus is Achosel is not Matriv. I mean, the Mishnah says the Drus is Hazeiv is Matriv Nidako. And so that means the Drus is Achosel is not Matriv Nidako. So it's a Mishnah for Ashes. The answer is, no, I could say that even though the Mishnah uses the Loshi, Drusas Hazeiv, and that means only Nidako, but not, the Mishnah doesn't try to advise us that only Drusas Hazeiv. The Mishnah mentions Drusas Hazeiv because that's the Urche. I mean, usually Behemah becomes Nidrasum through Hazeiv. But the same thing, if a Behemah will be Nidras through Hosel, the same thing, but the Mishnah doesn't mention Drusas Hosel because that's a highly unusual. Because what is a Hosel? A Hosel really is a domesticated tiger. So in Mele, it's not usual for a chosel to be deiris. But if it happened, so it's also treif. If a chosel was deiris, a behemah died. Mauri teime uchen miltratone komashmur. All right, Rashi. Now, zivu mai lave drusse, zivu chlaun, zivu matin leeres, chod ikon min neima leife, zivu eif zani drossin, en ametzel mai lo ishe, kiach mitris, eif chaberei, vritei mila avirama, min oil chosel, nama avetrisse vidako. Umas nissen koma ashmelon. Umas nissen koma ashmelon. Die sehen, was für die Gassen haben wir doch. Ich schreibe die Gassen, man kann sehen. Gaba, Gaba, komm, ist der Bläser, hat er auf, der Rav, so, der Rav, der Polen, dann kann man für die Gassen kommen. Ist der Rav, was schon, wenn er sich umato, auf die Dacken haben wir doch. Ich denke, ich bin sehen, wie schon Gassen. Aber Dako, auf die Chosel Name. Die Boi sehen, weil ich umas nissen haben wir mit Chosel. Auf die Dako, die sehen, gut, wenn ich tonne mit Dako komme, kann er bei Jomi. Wie aus Rav, wie frisch, in der Davke, man kann sehen, was nissen. Mal, ich denke, ich kann sehen, wie schon ich mit Hidras. Und wenn man die Chosel, komm, ich So that means that everybody agrees that even a behemoth dako, let's say like sheep, so will be clawed by a cat, so it doesn't become free. Omar Rav Amram, Omar Rav Chizde, Drusas chosu nemiyo vigdoyim utloyim, Drusas chuto beifes, if a chosu a cat is deireis, Gdoyim utloyim. Now, Gdoyim utloyim, the Gemara calls Dako Shevidakis. In other words, there are three categories of them. There is gases, like bulls, and then there is Dakis, sheep, and then there is Gdoyim utloyim. That's Dako Shevidakis. So, Trusas Chlokosu Nimiyo, Gdoyim utloyim. So a cat can be deiris and make treife gdoyim utloyim. Nemiyo is called in English, I think, mart. It's like a weasel, but it has a lot of fur. Mart, M-A-R-T-E-N. That's nemiyo. So a nemiyo can also be deiris. Dakish and dakis. Dakish and dakis. Gdoyim utloyim. Tuhusas chudo meivis. Chudo is a weasel. A weasel cannot be deiris. If a weasel is deiris, a behemoth, even Dakesh Bidakes, it does not become free. But enough, if a weasel is there, is enough, so it becomes free. Means, Drusas Chosel Neitzu Nimiyo, Achetinokei Vicholo. So only if we saw that it made the Nekev in the Cholagub. But Aval Druso, if we just saw that it was Lord, by Chosel, by Neitz, by Nimiyo, then let's look, it is bread. Let's loy dois, vat nam drus sameitz. Holy kashe, kam me eifes, kam bigdoi mut loy. So, in other words, when does the Mishnah say that a neitz, a hawk, if a hawk is there, so it becomes treife if a hawk was there, it's an op. But if a hawk would be there, a kid, doi mut loy, so a little lamb, so then it would become a trade. It would become. But Mikol Mokei, we Rafrizde Kashir. But Rafrizde says, Drusas Choso Unimio Bigdoyim Utloyim. And here, there is, it's Mifuresh, that Drusas Choso Uneit Unimio. So only Achinaki Vecholo, but Drusas Choso. So it's a Kashir. Who do Oma Kaitan?
产业不多嘛，开大门。In other words, that Rav Chisde holds with the Rebbe. That's the name of Itani. Itani Rebbe Imeir, Lomre Drusso, Mokim Shei Matzilin, Avo Mokim Shei Yesh Matzilin, Yesh Drusso. So, let's see the Rashi. Maritei Imeir, חי בלא כזה עם מישהו דורך למיטרס, הוא מעדין לחוסך משמעולה, מביא או חי או בישי עם שאים מעט, מעט, דימו את לא עם, the same word, דקים שבדקו, מגרפיס דה בהם עם מובי חיילים, כמאס ניסים, in other words, when does רב חיס דה say that the חוסך can be the rains, דקים שבדקו, let's say, a kid or a little lamb, but rams and a rochay, so sheep, he cannot be there. עד שנוקים וחול כקייט בעלמי, ועד שנקבע דאקים, משהו כקייט מקום ומחול, דרך שלא ימאזיק, אפילו ראיבים, כל שקידו יפלויים, ברבי שם חוכם, ואומרים דוסר חוסר ומוקים שם עצירים, ראיב, ולגדי מיודי ונקייס כל כך, ולעלם זירי, אבל מוקים שיש לו מעציר, הוא קייס, יש לי ארס, חוזור, וכשמרקים זה פרן, משהו בארס, ודרב חיד ושיש מעצירים. So רב חיד, they agreed with the Tana ברבי, that's the name of the Tana. In other words, so a chosel, it all depends. Why is it so? Because actually, a chosel originally a chosel is a tiger. But it's a domesticated tiger. So in Mesa Mashiach, so all the tigers will be even more peaceful than all the cats today. So, but it's basically a chosel is a tiger. Now a tiger certainly is capable, has the potential of injecting venom, a tiger. But a chosel is a cat, is very civilized, so a melee doesn't inject its venom. Why? Because a cat is disciplined. But if a cat, for some reason, loses its temper, then the tiger of the cat comes out, comes to the foreground, then it can inject venom. So when Rav Chisde says, so when does a chosel lose its temper? If the chosel is trying to eat a certain victim, and the chosel sees that victim has many defenders, many matzil, so then the chosel becomes very irritated, and then its real potential comes to the foreground, then it can inject its venom. So when Rav Chisde said, "Trusas chosel bigdoyim utloyim," but even when the chosel does inject its venom, the venom is not sufficiently strong to kill, to destroy a beimagaso, even a beimadako. But when the chosel does galvanize its potential, so then it can destroy dakim shevidakis. So Rav Chisde, Mishayish Matzil. So when does a chosel lose its temper? Only when the chosel sees that they are Matzil for its victim. All right. I think I told you once that my mother's a chen lebroche. I mean, before I was born, many years ago. So they tried to save a cat that was falling into a trap. So my mother tried to save it. So the chosel became so angry at my mother. So with its paws, it clawed my mother's hands. And then my mother was seriously sick for many, many weeks. That was in Tsarist Russia. I mean, but she was very critically ill. I mean, because when a cat, I mean, there are statistics. When a cat becomes very angry, a cat is a very ferocious animal. A dog, as the moral point out, a dog, if it's not a mad dog, so it's not a dangerous animal. It couldn't hurt anybody. Even if it bites, it couldn't hurt. But a cat, if it becomes very excited, is a very dangerous animal. I mean, so you see that when it becomes very irritated, the cat, So then, with its venom, it can kill. It can kill dakin shebidakis. All right. The yomu, so he said, who cares? Avu mokim sheish lo matzil. Who cares? Sheish lo eres chozok. Uch shemakim mitzipeiren. Mashlir bo eres. Udrafchiz dem b'sheish matzil. Now the more estikash, who be mokim sheim matzil in hindrusa. In other words, a cat can only inject its venom if yesh matzil. But if heimatzili, not. In other words, so then the cat has peace of mind and it doesn't lose its temper. Vohi tamigeles yahave beirafkane. There were certain tamigeles by Rafkane. The word chosel basro, a cat was chasing it. The only drune, so is trying to escape. The Tanagilis was trying to escape from the cat. So it entered a certain house, a certain room. The Yishad Doshebab, the Tanagilis entered the room, and the door was shut in the face of the cat. So the cat became very angry. The cat became very angry because the cat was trying to get a hold of the Tanagilis, and then the Tanagilis escaped from the cat, and the door was shut in its face. So it let out its wrath on the door. Umachya lidashe, so it struck the door with its paw, bisechufe. So with its paw, it struck, the cat struck the door. Couldn't strike the Tanagilis. So it struck, in its anger, it struck the door. So 5 drops of blood one found on the door. I mean, from this Gemara it appears that when a wild beast kills a behemoth by injecting its venom, so it actually injects its venom by discharging drops of blood into the blood system of the behemoth. So in other words, that this is because the Gemara proves that the cat discharges venom. Where do we see that it discharges venom? We found drops of blood on the door, on the handle of the door. So we found drops of blood. So that's a raya that it discharges venom. So obviously, the venom is discharged by discharging drops of blood into the circulatory system of the behemoth. So it poisons the whole system. So this is how it operates. But anyway, here there was no matzilin. I mean, it's the Makshe assumed that it's a klal only that the cat injects its venom only when the victim has no matzilin. But in this case, only when the victim has matzilin. Then it's capable of injecting its venom. But in this case, the Tanagilis had no defenders. Fortunately, the door was shut as it entered the room. So it was saved, it was spared an attack by the cat. But it had no matzilin. So Mele, according to the Klal of the Rebbe, so it should not have been capable of discharging its venom. And we see that it did discharge its venom, and that manifests itself in the discharge of drops of blood. So the Gemara gives a very simple teretz. So the Gemara says, Hatzolos atzmo, namik hatzolos achirim davar. It's not that a cat discharges its venom only when it sees that they are matzilin. When it sees that the victim has matzilin, then the cat becomes very frustrated and very excited, and it loses its temper. But even in this case, so true that Tanagilis said no matzilin, but it was analogous to the case where it had matzilin. Why does the cat lose its temper where the victim has matzilin? because then it becomes very frustrating. So if the victim has no material, so then the cat is very hopeful and confident. So melee doesn't, it has no reason as to why it should lose its temper, it should become excited all of a sudden. Machine came, if the cat sees that a certain victim after whom he chases, so has matzilin, so it becomes frustrated, it becomes excited, and it loses its temper, then it injects its venom. But in this case, even though the Tanagelis had no matzilin, but it was analogous to a case where it had matzilin, because the cat felt equally frustrated by virtue of the fact that it wasn't able to reach its victim. So Mamele, this galvanized its potential of discharging its venom. She atzmo, Hamisha Kote Domer, Rashi says, Eres shall homish its boys. Hatzolas atzmo, she atzmo matzelis gufo brachas. Alright, Vihabonot. Now, the Rabbonon who are here come around. And they say that only Berebbe, Afrizde agrees with Berebbe, but the Rabbonon Achilik al Berebbe, and the Rabbonon hold that a cat cannot be dailies, even Dakim Shemidaki. So that means that the Rabbonon hold that even in the case where the victim of the cat has matzili, a cat is still incapable of injecting its venom. So then the question is, against the Rabbonon of Berebbe, here we see that we found on the handle of the door, we found drops of blood. That's a manifestation of the venom that was discharged by the cat. So it's a kashe against the Rabbonon of Berebbe from the point of view of the Metzias. I mean, we have a fact. Here we saw an empirical kashe against the Rabbonon of Berebbe. So that's the Gemara's kashe. The Rabbonon, so the Gemara gives the Teretz. We call it zira. In other words, it has venom, but it cannot burn, it cannot destroy. So it has venom, but it's not so. It's not fatally poisonous. I mean that venom. So we saw the drops of blood that was the discharge of the venom of the cat, but it cannot. It cannot burn. Isle zira v'lo yikom. Rabbonon v'kigali v'rebbe dam afil yish matzinon yitul se baitom mishtak v'dom yit pfarak aloch. Isle zira v'lo yikom lehin yisei rei. Ike dam le homane v'rebbe yi. Ditanye v'rebbe yi meil yom yish tu so mokish yish matzili. Al mokish matzili yin tul se. Ike dam rashi. Drafri dafru mokim shei matzilin koma. Yesh drusse, umasnis dino kadzei. So in other words, we can say that Rafri is the Avril Mokim Shein Matzim Koma. Yesh drusse, umasnis dino kadzei, mishunim rabre no kad. Umasnis dino kad. Ache no kad vichol berebehi, mokim shein matzilin, virabonon kligal. והיית על גיל הזדהב ברב קנה דירו את חוסר בעשרו ואו ויתרו להם וישרה את דושה באפה עם חייר לדושה בסחופה וישתק החלי חמיש וכל דומה הצורס עמר, הצורס עצמנה כהצורס הכי רגע בואי מן רב קנה מרב יש דרוסו לחוסר לא יהיה דרוסו לחוסר אומר לי אף לחולדו יש דרוסו יש דרוסו לחולדו אין דרוסו לחולדו I mean, a chosel cat is much more ferocious than a chuldo, a weasel. So, when he asked him, Yesh lusso lechosso, Yesh lusso lechosso, Omele af lechuldo Yesh lusso. So then he asked, Yesh lusso lechuldo, or Yesh lusso lechuldo, Omele af lechosso Yesh lusso. Lechosso lechuldo Yesh lem trusso, or Yesh lem trusso, Omele lechosso Yesh lusso lechuldo Yesh lusso. So I mean, so he was saying to himself, Loikash, he wasn't saying to himself. He didn't contradict himself. So he says, the pshat is as follows. It all depends upon the circumstances. All the answers are correct. So when he gave the answer that he made less ferocious animal than a cat, a weasel, which is much less ferocious, so he has can be raised that he and so he says, of course, so he meant babies. That stamdaki, that's rams. That's what he said. So we see only Drusus and Aids, and the Drusus and Aids is a highly ferocious bird of prey. But the other Ivis Mei were not as ferocious birds of prey as a hawk. So they cannot be Teres in the Matri. So you know the Teres, no. Drusus and Aids with Havose. We know the Zutraminai. In other words, a nate, a hawk, is such a ferocious bird that it can be day-raised, even a bird who is as large as the hawk itself. Mashinkin, other birds, not a hawk. So they cannot be day-raised in Bimatri, a bird who is just as large. But smaller birds, other birds, can also be day-raised in Bimatri. Tuz anei v'chavosi, we know the zutam nai. V'ikidamre, tuz anei v'lerobim nai. A hawk is such an aggressive bird of prey that it can be day-raised even a larger bird than itself. Machenke, other birds of prey, they can be day-raised only birds that are as large as they, but not birds that are larger. Omer Afkane. Mishmir Rav Sime Barashe, in Druso Rishol, a fox cannot be dangerous. If a fox claws a behemoth, it's not right. Eini vokos Rav Dimo, mamayitz lido Rashuo, rochel ubi mechot shol bei Sime, ubo mayitz lichachon vamo yeish Druso. Oma, Rav Safre, hayi choslo. It wasn't a fox, it was a cat. Iked Amre, Oma Rav Kani Mishmir Rav Sime Barashe, yeish Druso Rishol. So in other words, we see from this Gemara that the term shul sometimes can be applied to a cat and it can be applied to a fox. It can be applied to a fox. But the halacha is that a caliph cannot be theirs, and the chosel can be theirs. Omar, Rav Yosef, naktin on the intrus of a caliph cannot be theirs. Omar Abai, naktin on the intrus of a biyad, lafuke regel do. I mean, yad, that's the foreleg. In English, we don't call hands and legs of a behemoth. Forelegs and hind legs. So yeah, that's the foreleg. And the regel, that's hind legs. So the druso can be only done by the paw in the hind leg, but not by the paw in the foreleg. Laktin druso biyad. I'm sorry. I mean that a druso can only be done by the paw in the yad, in the foreleg, but not by the paw, in the hind leg. In drusa biyad, lafuke regel deloy. In drusa bitzperen, lafuke shen deloy. Suppose a lion bit with its teeth a behemoth, it wouldn't become clean. Only when it was clawed with its paw. Because the paw injects the poison, not the teeth. La afukesh endoloy, in drusol midas, la afukesh loy midas loy, in Jerusalem mechayim lafklacham miseloi. Now, what does it mean lafklacham miseloi? How can a dead lion be erased? The answer is, so the Gemara at first thought, I mean, the maskana of the Gemara is that it doesn't mean that a dead lion, it was done by a dead lion. The maskana of the Gemara is that the lion, while the foreleg was attached to the lion, so it started to inject its venom. And then before it took out its paw from the behemoth, so the foreleg was cut off. So mess means that the eva was mess. It was cut off. This is the maskana. But the more in Havamin assume that it had reference to a mess mamish. Now, how could we visualize that the dead lion would be theirs? A dead lion cannot be theirs? Well, so what the more I thought at first was that it means that if somehow a dead lion was thrown upon the bay. Suppose it was thrown. Somebody took a dead lion with its paw and injected the paw of the dead lion into the bay. So it doesn't become taken. Because since the lion is dead already, so then it doesn't have any venom. It doesn't have any venom. This is what the Gemara assumed at first. So the Gemara says, Omar Abai, Tin and Dusam Yad Africa, and Lay, and Dusam is Pale Africa, and Lay, and Dusam the Dalla Vush on the Dalla Lay, and Dusam the Hain Africa Hamis Lay, Amre, Hashish on the Das, Amre Tloy, Lahamis and Boy. So why does he tell us? Even while it's alive, but if unintentionally and inadvertently the lion injects its paw, puts its paw into the organism of the behemoth, so it cannot inject its venom, or has come with hamo, if a person throws a dead lion upon a behemoth. So it's obvious that that it couldn't discharge its venom. So why does Abai have to tell us that? Abaye is reference to the case where a lion put its paw into the organism of the baby, and then somebody came and cut off the foreleg, the yad of the lion. So by the time the paw was taken out from the baby, so that paw had no life because it wasn't attached to a living beast, so mele, the venom couldn't be shocked. It's the dog is supposed to be other. Mali team, but the dog is shot a zire, komashmo. But how did he show it? Shot a zire. All right. Now, for Friday, so you should be prepared up to. The Gemara that Nundalud on the base at Hamat Yachsa, and then you should go over the Gemara of Mitar Atchil, and then you can skip. And you go over from Mitar Atchil, that Nundalud, up to the next Mishnah that we want. Omar Rabbe Barabim Omar Arim Shemichnas Levin Ashro, if a lion entered a stable with oxen, we need such a parent with Gabisha Echonehen, and we found its parent on the back of one of the oxen. So we don't have to be Cheshish, lest this Sheir was clawed by Dali, my time. Even though we know that he was in the stable, my time, Ribaroi is there. See. Umiton einen deyasi. Vichol adere is in zippon in nishmetz. And here it was nishmet. So that's a raya. Vizoy yisoyu bitziperes. Yeshemes levi gabe. Eima v'keisu nishacher. That how was the zippera nishmet? As a result of the lion rubbing himself against the wall. So, adarabe, the Gemara has the kashe. Reiv shvorin nishacheri. Umiton einen nishacheri. וכל המשחחך אין ציפרי ישם אצלו בגבי, וזה ראו בציפרי ישם בגבי אימר. ארידוסי, זו איקל ממהוכן, איקל ממהוכן, איקל מילצח הזאת, הפר לסופק תרוצה ורב לטיימי, the Omar in Cheshim is a Tosef. But we passed in the Cheshim is a Tosef. Omar Abai, Loi Amoron Elo Tzipeiren, Avo Mokim Tzipeiren, Cheshim. In other words, it's not that we found the Tzipeiren, but we see signs on the Sheir, on the Sheir's back, we see signs, marks, of the Tzipeiren of David. So then we are certainly Cheshish. Because if we find that the parent itself, so that's a raya that the Ari wasn't there, because had the Ari been there, he wouldn't, so that the parent wouldn't have been Ishmet, wouldn't have slipped off. But if we just see the marks of the parent, so on the contrary, that's a raya that there was, it is. If it's moist, if the tzipeiren that was nismat is moist, but if we say that it's a dry tzipeiren, then there is no raya that there was no drisa, because we see that the tzipeiren of the lion was very dry, and it's a dry tzipeiren is likely to slip off. Utlat, but if we find on the gab of the axe more than one tzipeiren, two, three, chayshino, v'yhu dikayme bidore nisechuf, only if the two or the three tziponayim of the lion are, I mean, in the order of the way the lion has it. Bidora is a chuk. Shein deis bigab asheir kiseida shein zdur is bidari. Itma. Now, so this memre of Rav is based upon the premise that ein cheshishim is of itrusim. But there is a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Itma. Rav omar ein cheshishim is of itrusim. Ushmuel omar cheshishim is of itrusim. Dikol alme sofikol sofik loyol. Ein loyol. If, let's say, that we saw a lion, someone observed a lion walking around the stable of the axe, but no one saw whether he entered the stable or not. So then, since it wasn't seen entering the stable, he's a loyal. So then everybody agrees that we don't have to be chishish, just because he was walking around in the vicinity. Sofi kalbe, sofi kshunre, eime kalbe. Now, if we know that a certain behemoth was clawed, but the sofi is whether it was clawed by a caliph. Now, a caliph does not inject any venom, even in dakim shebedakis, even gdoim kloim. A chosu, a cat, can inject venom. The cholapoches, in dakin shebidaki, we don't employ. So, if we know that a certain behemoth was clawed, but the question is, was it clawed by a caliph or was it clawed by a chosu? So, sofi kalbe, sofi kshundre, eime kalbe. Now, why? I mean, so even the one who, even according to Shmuel, as we pass in the traditions of Yitrusim, so why do we attribute to the caliph? If Cheshul is of Intruse and it's a sophic, the answer is because while a cat is capable of injecting its venom, but a dog not, usually a cat is civilized. In other words, so a cat doesn't claw, only when it loses its temper. So it runs berserk. So the melee, if we know that one of the two clawed, and we don't know whether it was a dog or a cat, so we presume that it was a dog, because a dog is not as civilized as a cat. So that's why, even according to Shmuel, we don't have to be chishish. All shosik ve'isa v'naye, suppose the lion entered the stable of the axed, and he sat between them, and nothing was heard, I mean, all was quiet. So then we say, Ema Shalmeshom. So then we say that he was a peacemaker, the lion. In other words, since we didn't hear any roaring by the lion, nothing. So then we certainly don't have to be chishish. Maybe there was a truce. Kota reish lechad minaye. So noch meritche. Suppose we know that the lion was in the stable. And we also know that he beat off the head of one of the oxen. The other oxen. So of course, this axe is certainly osa bachile. But as far as the other oxen are concerned, they are mutor bachile. Because since we know that he's kotarin shel echad min ha'aye, so in other words, he was already pacified, he was already appeased. So there is no reason as to why we should anticipate. Maybe he clawed another axe also. Suppose people were standing outside, so they heard the roaring of the lion and the lowing of the cattle. So we don't have to anticipate lest he was there as one of the axes. In other words, they were just frightening each other. Busing komivase adon. Keep liget. So when is the machlekes? When is the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel? Keep liget diu koshosik. Viu komikarker. In other words, the lion was quiet. We didn't hear any roaring of the lion, but we heard the lowing of the cattle. Marsova, Shmuel says that we have to anticipate the possibility that the reason is to why they were lowing and he was quiet because Maisa called. So they were lowing because he was dairies. He was dairies, the cat. And he had no reason as to why he should roar. I mean, everything went well his way. Marsova, Maisa called. This is what Shmuel says. Marsova, we don't have to be chishish. Mach must be susi udukar. Out of fright, they were alone. All right. Omar Ameina, Hilchese, Cheshishim Yisofitos. Even though the general rule is that Hilchese Krav be Yisore, so we should pasken like Rav, but here, we do more paskens like Shmuel. Omar Le Rav Ashel Ameina, Haide Rav Mai, what Rav says, that in Cheshishim, Omar Le Lishmiel, Kelim Alu Yisvira. That Rav himself ultimately conceded to Shmuel that Cheshishim is on the Ahu, why do we say that Rav himself conceded to Shmuel? The Ahu Serakve, that's a basket that was packed with the fowl, and then a hawk entered that basket. Sarakve the Sophic Drusis, the Osili Kam. Now we don't know what the hawk did, but he entered that basket. So the question is, was the hawk there is the fowl or not? The Osili Kam the Rab, Shadrino Likam the Shmuel. So it came, it was, the Shaila was presented before Rab, so he submitted the Shaila and he sent it to Shmuel. Chankinu Vishadinu Binar. So when it was presented to Shmuel, Shmuel had them killed, and then had them thrown into the river. We salted Aitoch Lihodabay Lishril. And if you say that Rab, I mean, was not Chizeh, so when the Shiloh was presented to him, he should have passed into a header. Elomai Hodabay Lishril. So what do you say? That he was Chazer, so he was Chazer, so he held like Shmuel. So you should have asked, why did he forward it? Why did he submit the child to Shmuel? Elo, Asre, the Shmuel Habe. So even though the child was presented to Rav, Rav happened to be, usually Rav wasn't so, but sometimes he happened to be in Adoya. So while he was in Adoya, that was the Asre, the mocking of Shmuel. So the child was at first presented to Rav, but since Shmuel was the Morad Asre, So he didn't want to fasten. So he sent it to Shmuel. El Asra di Shmuel. Asra di Shmuel. Lomali le Michnike, Lishdeine, Lishdeine, Hoche binare. So why did he have to have them choked, killed? He could have thrown them in the river? No. So the answer is no, then it would have been a mirshu, mipfrechem, visalke. If he hadn't killed them, so they might fly away, he throw cast into the river. They might fly away, and then somebody will eat them. So, vilishinush nebosachedech, let them store the fowl for 12 months. So then for Miraye, it was a something to say. We didn't see the hawk being there is the fowl. But maybe the hawk was there. So we could have kept them for 12 months, then it would have been a riot. That it wasn't interest because had it been interest, it couldn't live for more than 12 months. Also believe it's a call, because sometimes there might be a mistake if we keep...